Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 23. This week we have our minor league roundup, followed by the conversation with a pair of Lansing lugnuts, Phil Kish and Jason Leblebigian. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook. Written by yours truly, Charlie Caskey and Jared McDonald, the handbook is available as an ebook now at smashwords.com for only $7.99 US. We do anticipate availability soon on iTunes, Amazon, and other online retailers, but for now it's a Smashwords exclusive. You'll get all of what you need to follow the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system and the players. We've got team profiles with ticket information, media information, as well as team histories and driving directions. We've also got player profiles of over 250 players in the Blue Jays system. It's jam-packed with Blue Jays minor league goodness. And now for the first minor league roundup for the season. The Buffalo Bisons are first in the International League North with a 6-3 record, but they've got the fewest games played of any team in the league thanks to the brutal April weather. After a 4-0 start against Rochester and Lehigh Valley, the Bisons have gone 2-3, losing the final game of their series to the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs and splitting a 4-game series against the Pawtucket Red Sox. New signing Juan Francisco has been the offensive force for the club, hitting .406 with 2 home runs, a double, and a triple for the herd. Dan Johnson has 3 home runs, while Anthony Gose leads the club with 3 stolen bases, and his 7 walks help give him an on-base percentage of .375 early in the season. Kevin Pillar has been struggling with the bat, hitting only .105 with 4 hits in 8 games. The pitching staff has been led by Marcus Stroman and Liam Hendricks. Stroman has allowed only 2 earned runs in 10 innings while striking out 12, and Hendricks has yet to allow a run in 9 2/3 innings with 7 strikeouts. The New Hampshire Fisher Cats are sitting at the bottom of their division after a fairly cold start to the season. With a 4-7 record, the Cats haven't gotten the performance that they might have been hoping for with a very experienced team. Deck McGuire is currently leading the pitching staff in innings pitched and has an excellent 10-2 strikeout-to-walk ratio. As for the batters, Ryan Schimpf has been heating up with 2 home runs in the last 3 games, but most of the lineup isn't helping out. Kevin Nolan had a 4-for-4 game on April 12th against Binghamton, but he's only hitting .219 overall. And speedster John Birdie has had his average fall to .267, and he's only walked once after a hot start. Brad Glenn is hitting .325, but hasn't really been slugging as much as he has in the past. The prospect that everyone is keeping their eyes on is Aaron Sanchez, who has had some mixed results. His last start wasn't pretty, giving up 3 runs in 3 2/3 innings, but he has shown flashes of brilliance. Overall, this team should turn around soon, thanks to the talent and experience that it has. The Dunedin Blue Jays have been almost unstoppable through their first 11 games, using tremendous pitching and timely hitting to cruise to a 9-2 record. The team has my 3 honorable mentions that I wrote up for the Jays Journal top prospect list. Casey Hobson is by far the team's RBI leader with 14 and is hitting .359, while Emilio Guerrero may be only hitting .250, but he has been swinging a hot bat of late. My 3rd honorable mention was Matt Boyd, the pitching staff's opening day starter and undisputed leader thus far, not taking away anything that Daniel Norris has done. Boyd has thrown 17 scoreless innings with a 16-2 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Norris has been more than holding his own. He's given up just 1 run in his 2 starts, and he has 11 strikeouts with just 1 walk in 11 innings. He has been able to get things done even when he hasn't been completely on his game, which is a big sign of maturity for the 20-year-old starter. I'm predicting big things for these two this year. I wouldn't be keeping you all informed properly if I didn't mention Matt Newman, Dwight Smith, and Dalton Pompey. Newman is hitting 400 and is leading the team in hitting, while Smith started out on fire, hitting two home runs off of major leaguer Cole Hamels, and he's hitting 349 even after going hitless in his last three games. Dalton Pompey, the Mississauga boy, is hitting 333 and has stolen five bases without being caught. He's also walked five times and has an OBP over 400. The Lansing Lugnuts are off to a slow 3-7 start that puts them second last in the Midwest League Eastern Division. A very young team is undergoing a few growing pains as they move to a more competitive league. Leading the way on the pitching side is college veteran Kendall Graveman. He's thrown 12 innings and has allowed just one run on 7 hits with 3 walks and 11 strikeouts. The very talented group of pitchers has all struggled on their promotion. Jeremy Gabareski has notched the most innings of the bunch, while Tom Robson, Chase DeYoung, Yairo Laborte, Adonis Cardona, and Alberto Tirado have all been unable to convert their immense talent into solid results just yet. Much of the same thing has happened on the hitting side, but Matt Dean and Mitch Ney are both sitting around the 300 mark, while DJ Davis is hitting 290 with some very solid peripheral numbers. That said, only Dickie Joe Thon and Jorge Saiz are hitting above 230, and even then, Thon, Davis, and Dean have 10, 11, and 12 strikeouts respectively. In Davis's case, that represents almost a 30% strikeout rate. Doel Lugo, Justin Atkinson, and Santiago Nesi are all below the Mendoza line. And that was the minor league roundup. Now we'll hear from two of those Lansing Lugnuts. Pitcher Phil Kish hasn't made his season debut yet. He's biding his time on the DL until he's able to come in and contribute to the club, but he's definitely raring to go. Jason Leblebigian is a well-traveled utility infielder who's used to traveling light and contributing wherever he can. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Phil Kish, and Phil is a reliever with the Lansing Lugnuts. Welcome to the podcast, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing real well. Just kind of trying to get used to this cold weather.
Now, you mentioned you're from Florida, and so coming up to Lansing, is it different pitching in cold weather than it is down in, especially since you were just down in Florida pitching in, you know, the nice warm weather where you can get loose? Is there a difference? Does it take you longer to get loose?
Yes, definitely. It takes probably another 20 pitches or so before, and I'm used to having only 10 to get going. You have to, you know, stay flexible and stay stretching, or you're not going to be. It's going to take a lot longer.
So, are you kind of like? I know a lot of bullpen pitchers are kind of like a little bit of adrenaline junkies. That, you know, they get the call to warm up, and you know they could be in the game in a matter of minutes, and you know they live off the energy of getting loose quickly. Is that, you know? Would you fit yourself into that category?
I'd actually say no, because I had to close in college, and if you kind of rely on adrenaline, then, you know, you're going to have too much when you go into the game. So you have to stay under control and keep your mind under control, or you'll lose it when you go out there. If you have too much, then you're just going to be all over the place.
So tell me and tell our listeners, because, you know, I think a lot of people saw the, you know, the roster when it was announced, and I know some of my readers are very very excited to see a lot of the players, and when the rosters come out, who's where, you know, they may not have heard of you too much. So why don't you tell the listeners what kind of a pitcher you are?
Well, I'm a non-drafted free agent, and I finished up in Bluefield last year, and I was in the GCL pretty much for the first month last year after the draft. But I am a sinker ball type pitcher, you know, high 80s, low 90s. Have a slider and a changeup. That's about it. I just try to keep the ball low. That's normal. That's normal pitching right there for you. But if I leave up a sinker, then it's not going to happen very well for me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Gulf Coast League. Last year, you signed as a non-drafted free agent after the draft. You know, can you tell? I have read, and I hope some of our listeners have read, that you were, I believe, an accounting major. And you are, you know, you were a little bit surprised that you had the opportunity to continue playing baseball. You know, can you tell the listeners a little bit about that moment when you realized you'd have the chance?
Well, that is a crazy story in itself. You know, back in 2012, I was done with baseball. I was asked to become a grad assistant at Southeastern University, and I was going to finish my one more year of work in accounting and finance, of schoolwork and whatnot. And then my coach urged me to, he goes, hey, we should maybe look into a medical red shirt. And I ended up getting it. And I applied, and I actually had my best year in college last year. Broke my NAI all-time career record. And then, you know, I just had a great year. And then all of a sudden, Blue Jays called. And then I was in the GCL in June.
Okay. And what is it going, you know, from college pitching to the GCL? I know the GCL is a very different environment.
Actually, one thing I noticed with GCL is I felt I had a little bit of an advantage because in college, like I had 5 or 6 years on some of these kids were in high school. And I felt like if I could just pound the zone, these kids were going to swing at any off speed because they're used to hitting a fastball. They showed they could hit a fastball. So with me, I felt like I had a little bit of an advantage when I went in there. I just had pretty much pitched backwards.
I know there were several college guys. I spoke to Boomer Collins a little bit in Dunedin this spring. And I know you had several pitchers like Chris Rowley and Corey Gorman. They were down there with you. So was there a little bit of a fraternity of the older guys as opposed to some of the high school draftees?
I guess you could say so. Everyone was still friends with everybody. But at the same time, when I talked with Corey and I talked with Rowley, I mean, we pretty much had the same game plan going in. Because me and Rowley were pretty much the same pitcher, sinker ball guys. But we both knew if we could just pound the zone and get ahead and then go to our off speed, they weren't going to have a chance. And pretty much Corey was the same way, except he wasn't a sinker ball guy. He was a lefty, but he just pounded the zone, and he had success as well. But unfortunately, you know, Chris had, you know, his Army duty he had needed to do, and he wasn't able to finish out. So,
yeah, and I know the Blue Jays have had a couple of military academy guys in their system. Garrett Custins was he a teammate of yours in Bluefield as well?
Yes, Garrett was a great catcher up in Bluefield, and you know, when he caught me, that was great. I liked having him back there behind the plate because he blocked up everything.
Well, since we're on the topic of catchers, you know, you've got one of the catchers from last year is up here with you in Jorge Saiz. And what did did when you threw to him last year? What did you, you know, get from him? And does that help when you come up to another level and you have a catcher that you've thrown to before?
Yes, George or Jorge, we call him George, but he knows how I pitch. He's one of those catchers that's very talkative, and he'll ask you like, hey, what do you like throwing in this situation? And he's also that he'll pay attention to you. If he notices that your stuff's not on like a certain pitch, he'll kind of avoid that pitch and kind of go to something else. But then at the same time, he goes, hey, you need to get this one here. And then he'll tell you what you need to do. So he's just very vocal. And that's one thing I like him behind the plate. And, you know, Nessie's the same way. But Nessie has more experience up here. And then so it's kind of cool. Like, you get to work with both catchers. They'll teach you something.
Now, let's talk about Lansing a little bit. You're up here. This is the first time playing full season baseball in regular spring training because last year you joined, you know, after, you know, extended had been underway. What was that experience like for you coming into the full season and into the regular spring training?
Well, one thing with college is that, you know, we start out in January and the coaches will start harping on you to get going. And in spring training, you know, they're kind of lenient with you. They'll let you get going and let you practice. And, you know, you have a couple outings before you even talk about getting onto a roster before you go. And then once I got here in Lansing, like once you're like, oh, it's a relief, you know, you made the squad. And now it's just pretty much, hey, it's time to work now. Luckily us, we had Michigan State for an exhibition game. And, you know, that was nice for some of our hitters to get some swings and whatnot, pitchers get some innings. But now, you know, now it's time to kick it on. It's ready to go. And it's kind of, you know, you have to learn how to take care of your body. So, and this is ready. This is where it starts. So.
And how have you enjoyed the Lansing experience?
So far, it's great. I actually got one inning in against Michigan State, and that was actually really fun. You know, you don't get to do much, but, you know, the fans are great. You know, it's a cool atmosphere when you come here at Cooley Law School Stadium or whatever. So I'm just excited for everything right now. So,
well, we're definitely excited to see how well you do, and we wish you the best of luck in this season in Lansing.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Jason Leblebigian, and I hope I'm not too far off with that.
Spot on. You're good.
All right. Jason is an infielder. Jason has been around in the Jays system for a couple of years now, and he's played, you know, at many different venues. So how are you enjoying this time around in Lansing?
I'm really enjoying it, especially this is my first time around being able to experience, you know, the start of a full season. It's kind of nice to, you know, acclimate yourself with some of the guys, the coaching staff, and kind of just get a good feel of what the community, you know, puts into it. Because, you know, in the beginning you do a lot of, functions with the community and things like that to get to know them. So seeing that aspect of things and experiencing the whole full season effect has really been an awesome experience so far.
Now, last year you played, I think, at three different teams in three
yes.
different cities.
And the year before that.
And the year before. Yeah. So you're very well traveled.
Sure.
Is there any secret that you have to just sort of being ready to move, or you just sort of try to settle in as best you can?
Never unpack. honestly, it comes down to just making sure I'm getting my work done every day. Being, you know, a utility guy down at this level right now, it's kind of just going position to position every day, getting your work done. Because even though I may be playing second or short here, you know, if I get moved up or down or whatnot, you know, they might need me to play third or first and things like that. So a lot of it's just making sure I'm prepared and packing very light so I can keep track of my belongings, really.
Now, here at the beginning of 2014, I noticed that you have played quite a bit at shortstop so far. It's still very early in the season.
Sure.
What kinds of things are you doing to prepare for that? What kinds of things is sort of in your daily routine that might be different than somebody who plays just one position?
For the most part, a lot of the work is for batting practice. During batting practice, we have coaches hitting us ground balls. And my main focus is, you know, one day I'll take ground balls at second and short, and then the other day I'll just take it at third. And you know, ground balls from coaches, that it gets you in a good rhythm, gets you in good feel. But a lot of it is kind of the last round of batting practice. I'll just, you know, stand at the position, and just kind of watch the ball off the bat from that angle, you know, seeing guys' swings. Just so that, you know, going into a game, seeing pitches going in there, coming off the bat, it kind of just keeps me comfortable seeing it off of there, so.
Now, do you have a favorite position to play?
Well, I mean, I'm sure just like most of us, shortstop for the most part, just because, you know, most of us played it our whole lives. It's where, for me, I'm most comfortable just because, you know, all the repetition I've had there. But I do like playing other positions too, just because it kind of shows me all different aspects of the game and reasons why guys like certain things, especially in double plays and things like that. So, but I would have to say short.
Now, what's the best thing about playing here in Lansing and with the Lugnuts?
Many things. I mean, last year, obviously I can't talk for this year yet because we haven't played too many teams, but last year the pitching we saw was unbelievable, and that's the type of stuff you need to prepare for the future and kind of develop your game, is seeing, you know, plus velo and good breaking balls. And last year, you know, throughout the entire conference, we face some really good arms, which, you know, really prepares you for what's next. And I mean, other than that, the crowds for the most part are unbelievable. They pull very well, and the only thing is the cold, you know. But being from Chicago, I'm used to it, and hopefully it doesn't turn around from here, you know.
Now, was it, you know, you said that, you know, you had a lot of good arms in the conference.
Sure.
What was it like coming from here to Dunedin, to theoretically a higher level league, but was there that much of a difference in the pitchers that you might have been facing?
I think for the most part, the way they locate is a little bit better. Obviously, that comes with, you know, experience, maturity, things like that. The main difference I did see, you know, defense is a little tighter up there. And so, you know, the mishit balls that might be hits, you know, here and there, those plays are pretty much made the higher you go. And, you know, I was blessed with the ability to even play a couple double-A games during spring training to fill in. And, you know, those guys, even their location, you rarely see a ball that's, you know, above the belt where you could handle it well. You know, they always pound down and things like that. And just it's part of the process, you know. At this level, guys have really good stuff, and all the stuff is the same all the way through. It's just the location is off sometimes, and that's what gives you a chance for the most part.
So I'm going to ask you kind of a philosophical question.
Sure.
Now. So, you know, you're seeing and you've seen pitchers in other leagues who, you know, as you said, have located better and really hit their spots better. Does that sort of change your philosophy as a hitter in that, you know, obviously you want to take advantage of mistakes, but
sure.
Does that put you in a different state of mind to hit, you know, pitches that the pitcher wants you to hit and try to hit them better?
Sure. That's a great question. And honestly, that's what I think a lot of guys have trouble with. And it really comes down to studying the pitcher. You know, there's always one or two pitches that, you know, whether it's his curveball, whether it's his changeup, that he might be leaving up just that day. You know, maybe the time before he was locating it very well, but there's usually one pitch that he's locating and, you know, another pitch that he's kind of leaving up a little bit, and that's kind of the pitch you want to hunt. Other than that, you got to just stick to your plan, stick to your approach, and, you know, you just get your pitch, you can't miss it. You gotta do some damage with it and hope for the best.
Now, what is your approach as a hitter?
Personally, I like every guy, really, I love hitting off the fastball. That's something that we stress all the way through the organization, obviously. But I usually like things middle in, just because I feel like I handle it better, I can control the depth better, and you know, kind of from there, it's just reacting to everything else, you know.
Well, we hope you react really well to the pitching here in Lansing and keep moving up through the organization. It's not always a linear process, of course.
Of course.
But, you know, I think having seen you play a little bit here last year, you know, I know that you have a lot to offer the team. So we hope
appreciate
that you that. We hope that you have continued success in your career.
Sure. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
That wraps it up for episode number 23 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Phil Kish and Jason Lobelbijian for taking the time to talk to me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back next week and go Jays go.